Roll tape, please.
Okay, let's get this show rolling.
10 seconds.
Stand by, everybody.
John Fricke and Hugh Douglas. Live, local, and you can hear us all over Georgia.
Big Hugh, Big John, Big Guys, Big Show.
A 3-time NFL Pro Bowler and a guy who's been covering the A for nearly 3 decades. John and Hugh, call the guys at 404-741-0929.
Wait, I thought I was the man.
No, you're my man.
Oh, okay. So my man, what do you mean I'm your...
No, not like that.
Okay.
My man, we cool.
Okay, gotcha.
John and Hugh are on the air.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Yeah, for half a second in the pre-show, I thought about mentioning that we might want to just open with a Queen song and there would be no host for the show tonight. But then I realized we have that wouldn't work once we got past the song. Yeah, Sports Radio kind of needs hosts. And I don't know if you caught the Oscars last night without the host, but certainly a talking point and a lot of buzz. Morning to you. What up?
Good morning. You know what? I didn't even notice that they didn't have a host. I was just kind of like, you know, I was just kind of like, it was pretty cool. Saw some of the Oscar dresses, some of the dresses worn by men and women. And I was like, oh, that's pretty different. It was pretty different. Shout out to Spike Lee for finally winning the Oscar. Regina King. I sent out a tweet last night. And I just want to say, I was just saying with your fine self, I was not trying to shoot the J. I was not shooting the J. I just was pointing out the fact that Brenda has grown up, because I grew up. Like, I don't know about you, but we kind of all grew up watching Regina King, and we saw her go from Brenda, young little Brenda, to becoming a woman. Saw her being in Poetic Justice, the Minister Society, and just saw her and just her transformation from that little girl to this woman that has won an Oscar. And I thought that was pretty cool. That's what that was. It wasn't like I was trying to, you know, be that guy that was trying to, you know, shoot that deep three. Although if she did reply, I would not, you know, turn that down. Not at all, even though we about the same age. I'm just saying. But, yeah, I was just giving her props, man. I was doing well until I went there, huh, AT? I saw you drop your head when I did that. I'm just saying. I wasn't trying to, but if the opportunity presents itself, hey, listen, hey. You know, we about the same age, but I made, you know, it's exceptions to every rule. I'm just saying.
I thought it was pretty clever that they, you know, since the whole Kevin Hart debacle last night, you know, not having a host and probably suffered because it didn't have a host. But the idea of having Queen come out and sing We Will Rock You and We Are the Champions was okay. But the faux Freddie Mercury guy, who's the new lead singer of Queen, that didn't work for me. It was almost like they should have just had Remy Malek do it. You know, come out like, and of course they probably couldn't because it was the real Queen band. I mean, Brian May and all the guys. But that would have been kind of neat if they had had that. That would have been better. But
you know, it's funny. I finally saw, I saw Bohemian Rhapsody this weekend, and I thought it was pretty good. I think they could have taken a lot deeper dive into Freddie Mercury's life. I know they tried to keep it real PC, but I thought that was the most interesting part, because the one thing that I noticed about the movie, and I don't know if you noticed the same thing, Daryl, was he was real outspoken from day one. Like he was real, like, extra from day one when he introduced himself to the group and everything of that nature. He was just all – he was over the top. He was over the top. And excuse me for my ignorance, I didn't know Queen had so many hits.
Oh, yeah.
They had a ton of hits, man. It was like – and the cool thing about it was that everybody in the group was pretty creative. Like, everybody in the group wrote their own songs, but Freddie was the front man and – you know, he was the one that sang them, but it was pretty cool that to see the different ideas that came from each different group member for each one of their hits. That's pretty dope.
Yeah, it was a interesting night at the Oscars last night. It'd be interesting to see if what kind of ratings they get. That'll be kind of you know.
For me, it was kind of I was kind of in and out of the Oscars a little bit. You know, had the both TVs going, saw the red carpet affair. Some of the stuff that they were wearing on the red carpet, and
that's why the Maven watches. She watches for all those dresses, and I'm like, I'm what we call I call it phone watching. You know what I mean? Where I'm on my like iPad, and you know I'm either reading you know some other story on iPad, or I'm playing like you know poker or something, and it's just sort of on, and I kind of peer at the TV. Yeah, it's on. That's kind of how I watch it. It's just there.
I tell you what, I understand. Like, listen, I'm not taking a deep dive into what I'm about to say. I'm just saying, I thought it was different, and I thought it was kind of bold. But I don't know if anybody saw Billy Porter. Billy Porter is an actor. He was at the Grammys. He's the guy that had on the black velvet dress. Like, it was pretty, like, as dresses go, I could not pull that off. I would not pull that off. That was a pretty dope look, though, for him. For him and, you know, what he wore. That was a pretty dope dress. I mean, it was. I mean, I'm comfortable in saying that as a man. It was a dope dress for the dude to wear the dress. It was something different. And everybody looking at me like I'm crazy. I'm just saying. You know, I'm comfortable with my man. I'm comfortable with my skin. Dude, just think about it, though. And I guess I'm looking at it a little different. To wear a dress in a setting like that as a dude, like, that's pretty bold, man. So I give him props for being bold, I guess. I wouldn't do it. Nah, y'all ain't about to kill me. Y'all wouldn't be killing me for wearing that, but nah. That's pretty dope.
Yeah, a lot of Oscars last night. Of course, a lot of sports over the weekend. Hawks split a couple of home games, losing one, winning one. They are now 20-40 on the year. We'll get into a little bit of where the Hawks stand right now. Also, we had the 500 to react to with Brad Keselowski winning that. And the Legends yesterday played their very first game at Georgia State Stadium in front of a crowd of 10,717, which, by the way, best I could tell, Hugh, is the smallest crowd for a home game yet in the AAF. And so the Legends, of course, they didn't play very well again. I mean,
this is the, like, for me as a guy that played the NFL, I watched some of that game. It took me a while to find it, though, because it was kind of hard. You know, if you don't have CBS All Access, it's kind of hard to get it. But I finally found it. The thing, I don't have a problem with the league. I think that it's going to get better as time goes on. But the one thing that sticks out to me when I watch it is the fact that the quarterback play is kind of lacking. It's really lacking. And I think that's probably because of the fact that they didn't really have that much time to practice together, and they're still trying to get it together. I think the teams that are doing better, I think it was the San Diego team, I forgot the name, one of them is the Commodores and somebody they played yesterday, the one that Trent Richardson plays for.
Trent plays for the Birmingham.
The
San Diego Fleet.
The San Diego Fleet. It's a running back that plays for the San Diego Fleet. But my point is this. Teams that are able to run the ball, they're having more success because they take a lot of that pressure off of the quarterback. And you're right. It was Trent Richardson yesterday who scored, what, two touchdowns at least. But, yeah, so it's that. That's the thing that sticks out to me is that the quarterback play for the league is a little behind. But outside of that, it's pretty decent to watch. And you can tell, another thing that caught my eye, the first week of the league play, there was a lot of vicious hits that went uncalled. Refs are starting to catch up a little bit with the calls. They're starting to make those vicious calls when guys are getting hit and things of that nature. So, yeah, it's starting to catch up with the NFL a little bit with that.
Yeah, and what it jumped out at me is that there are going to be a lot of NFL teams, including the Falcons, every NFL team, is going to be looking at the AAF because there's some guys that are starting to, after 3 weeks now, starting to show out a little bit. There's that cornerback from Birmingham that's catching a lot of people's eyes. And, you know, whether you can play yourself, granted, the quarterback play. And how bad is the quarterback play of the Atlanta Legends when Aaron Murray can't beat out Matt Sims? Now, we like Matt. Matt's a nice kid. You know, we like his dad. We like Matt. He was on the Falcons for...
It's not about liking nobody.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
It is what it is.
I know. And, you know, he was on the Falcons for, what, 2-3 years on the scout team. And we enjoyed watching him on the scout team. But Matt's not a quarterback at this level. He's just not. We could see that. And Aaron Murray can't even beat him out. I mean, it's pretty sad for the Legends when by far the best quarterback, you know, in town in that stadium yesterday was the one putting the ball at the 25 to start the game. You know, and I know that there have been some kind of like, hey, ha, ha, yeah, you know, wink, wink, nod, nod stuff about Michael Vick, you know, suiting up and playing in a game. But if you're the Atlanta Legends now, of course, he doesn't even work for the Legends anymore. He works for the league. You know, I think at some point the league has got to take some kind of a bold step. If you want to save this franchise in Atlanta, you should, as a league, ask Michael if he wants to play and make him the quarterback of the Atlanta Legends.
John, that sounds crazy to me. Michael Vick is not, I mean, I know what he was when he played, but he's not going to play in this league. he's not going to be a quarterback in this league. I don't see that happening at all. I don't even see that him entertaining that as a thought. I mean, I don't see that.
Well, if they don't, then guess what? I got news for you. I think the Legends are done.
They'll
for
be like, first of all, they got to find a quarterback. First of all, right. This league has to. It will get better. I think that it will get better as we go along with this. But I don't. Michael Vick is not the answer. Michael Vick is not the answer.
Well, what's the answer to drawing fans there? Because I think they play on the road this week. Okay.
What did they have? They had about
10,700, smallest opening crowd, and that's the biggest crowd they'll have all year.
That's a nice start for your first home game, I would think. I know that they're anticipating more, but this is still a grassroots movement for this league. I think it eventually will get better. I think people, when they look at this, they probably feel the same way that I feel. The biggest thing that they're lacking right now is the dynamic quarterback play. And I think that the reason why Birmingham is having the success that they're having is they're benefiting from the fact that Trent Richardson played in the NFL for a while, and he's head and shoulders better than anything they got back there as far as running the ball, and he provides them some type of stability as far as that's concerned. Because if you notice, any team that has a young quarterback that's playing or a quarterback that's not that great, they have a strong running game. And that's where they're eating at. The Birmingham Iron are eating off the fact that they have a running back that played at the next level.
Right. No. And you're looking at it from a football perspective about how the teams match up against.
And you're looking
at
it from a selling tickets perspective,
right? Which I'm not sure that this. Here it is. You got the Carolina Hurricanes owner who bails out the whole league with $250 million, so they wouldn't even made it to this week. They might have folded. And he wants to put a franchise where his team is in Raleigh, and I'm kind of thinking maybe that's us.
Maybe. I think, to your point, that people came out because they knew they were going to roll Michael Vick out. They did that before the game. Maybe that was the case. I think that there is a role for Michael Vick, but it ain't suiting up. I don't think that's the right move to make. I think they should have had Mike Vick be the offensive coordinator for whatever reason. When Coach Childress left, that's where it went south for them. I think that people of Atlanta were excited about the fact that Michael Vick was the offensive coordinator. I think they were excited about the fact that they were going to get a chance to see him in a different light. I think people wanted to see how successful he was going to be outside of playing quarterback, because we all know what type of quarterback Michael Vick was, and we all heard the rumors about Michael Vick as far as him being a student of the game. Now that you're coaching the game, I think that was one thing that people were real curious about. But as far as going out there and seeing them play, no, I don't think that's the answer for them. I really don't.
I just don't see any other way to sell tickets. I see no other way to get anybody to go down there to watch that team.
I think it's going to take time. It's brand new. I think it's a brand new league, and it's going to take time for people to get excited about it. The bottom line, and not only that, John, you're coming in, you was on a 2-game losing streak. Now you're on a 3-game losing streak. So it's one of those things. If you're winning, I think people will come watch. To see, I think the biggest thing right now is that your quarterbacks, both of them, are just guys. They're just guys, and they know that. They're just guys. No disrespect to anybody. Aaron Murray, been on the show a couple times, and the young Sims kid. They're just guys. They're not dynamic right now, and it's going to take some time for them to be that way.
Well, it'll be interesting to see, because now the Legends are, going to go up against – now, granted, they went up against the Race yesterday, but I'm not sure that the Legends and the Race audience are quite the same audience. But now they're going to be going up against Atlanta United, which is going to be playing, of course, Thursday this week, and then their home schedule will start, and they'll go up against in just over a month, or about a month and 3 days, another team that's going to be coming into town up there in Cobb County. So they're going to have a lot of competition. So look, I'm not rooting against the Legends. I'm just trying to be realistic here. I watched that and saw the crowd and went, oh, man, that's not good. Yeah, I don't know where we're going with this. So are you into award shows, and what did you think of the Oscars? One of the things that's going to be fascinating with the Oscars, what kind of ratings did they get without a host and with the way things kind of went last night? Because this is, you got a lot of interesting things, a lot of controversy over the Best Picture winner, too. As we continue with John and Hugh on the Morning Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now you can listen to The Game anywhere in the world. Just go to radio.com and stream us anytime.
Using the internet.
Stay connected to Atlanta sports 24-7. Only at radio.com and the radio.com app. Streaming live now. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning show at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, I just want to say before we, because we want to talk a little bit about what happened at the Oscars last night, there's a little bit of a sports moment there in the Oscars, that I don't wish, because I know that somebody on Twitter was, I'm not wishing the legends anything but success. I'm just trying to tell you what I see here. Billy Devaney, the GM, is an old friend of mine, and I would love to see the legends do well. I just don't know how you go up from here, if that's your high watermark.
This is only the first game, and you're giving them the death knell already. I think it's going to take some time. I mean, that's with any sport. I think from what I've read and what I've seen, the West Coast teams are doing a little bit better. Like the San Diego team, they were talking about how their numbers are pretty good. I think part of that is because that looks a little bit closer to professional football as opposed to what it looks like on the East Coast. And I'm just speculating here. I haven't watched a lot of AAF, but it just feels like on the West Coast, those teams are doing a little bit better. I think their TV numbers are a lot better.
You're in eight markets, seven of which are not NFL markets. This is the only NFL market. So, you know, they don't have a team in the other markets to, you know, kind of, you know, bounce off of. That was always kind of a high hill anyway.
And I think to your point that a lot of people, they checked it out this weekend because it was one of those weekends where wasn't a whole lot going on. And they went and checked it out. It's gonna have to grow on people. It really is. I think it's gonna have to be one of those things that grow on people. And again, I think the part of the biggest problem is the quarterback play. There's a lot of miscues out there. A lot of miscues. A lot of receivers dropping balls.
Yeah, their opening drive was 9 minutes, and then they couldn't score.
Yeah, it's a lot of receivers dropping balls, things of that nature. That takes time, John. You know, and you look at, again, they had a month to practice with one another. And they're still trying to figure it out. So I think it's going to take a little bit of time.
Well, the Legends will be on the road this week. They return home March 10 to face Memphis on the 10th of March. And we'll see what happens in the next game. Hopefully they can get a win. And maybe that'll pique a little bit of interest in terms of the city. And again, I'm not wishing them, you know, I wish them all the success in the world. I don't wish anybody in Atlanta not success. Just saying that just a concern for me, that's all. A little bit on the opening game. Meantime, we had the Oscars last night. Now, by and large, Hugh, I don't like award shows. I don't watch them. I'm not an, you know, maybe I'll watch the opening monologue and stuff from award shows, and that's about it. The rest of the time, I really don't care who wins what, so I don't really watch them. Even the ESPYs, it's like I don't really care who wins what. So I'm not an award show guy. But it was on last night because, the Maven likes watching the award shows, and she's watching for the dresses and whatnot. And so it's there. Well, I didn't know that there was going to be a couple of moments. One moment happened when Spike Lee was informed of the fact that there was a sports update that actually happened during the broadcast live, and it went like this.
First of all, Spike, so glad you're sitting down. After 18 consecutive home losses, the Knicks won tonight. I repeat, the Knicks won tonight, defeating San Antonio 130-118.
Yeah, we probably should have. Knicks beat the Hawks the other night. But, the Knicks finally won a home game. So right there in the middle of the Oscars, we had a sports flash.
Oh, yeah, because everybody knows. Anybody that knows anything knows that Spike Lee is a huge Knicks fan. Did anybody see Spike Lee's Jordans that he had on? Man, and I saw it on his Twitter feed. He was talking about how, shout out to his boy Jordan, who commissioned. They had to commission those all gold 40 Acre and the Mule Jordans. They were pretty dope. Like, I'm pretty sure. I know Spike said there was only, like, I guess they were a one-off for him and the Oscars. Man, they got to make a pair of those. And I would imagine they would probably be called the Spike Lee Oscar-winning Jordans because those things were precious.
Remember, he had the Spizikes. They had those.
No, I had the Spizikes. Yeah, but did you see them, D? Because they had 4 acres and a mule on the back.
Yeah, man, I have some Spizikes, but not like these.
Man, those shoes are hard. Those shoes were hard. Like those, I probably wouldn't be able to afford them because they'd probably be out of my price range. if they over like $100, that means they're out of my price range. But those are really, really nice. What the Spizikes look like? Yeah, those are nice. Those J's were nice. And he had, I guess he had his paying homage to Prince. Was that his Prince homage he had on last night as well? That's pretty cool to see him finally win one, man. You're talking about a director who's had some great movies over the years. And I saw a friend of mine tweeted out last night that he should have won one for Malcolm X. But what? Think about this, the irony. Denzel Washington is one of the greatest actors to ever act, and his son was the one that finally got Spike Lee the Oscar. That's pretty cool.
Well, yeah, the Oscars last night ran like 3.5 hours, and they were still in front of last year, but without a host. And they said, well, we got to trim this up because there were some controversies at the Oscars. One of them was they wanted to take this whole thing now and make it into a much more compact show. And so they wanted Hugh to give away a bunch of awards for like cinematography and live animated short and things of that nature. They wanted to do it during the commercials. And so they thought, well, during the commercials, we'll give away awards, and then we could just kind of list it coming back and say, oh, but while you were away, we gave away this Oscar. And that was going to take those 5 or 6 awards and cut all the time that it would cost to present them live, right? And trim the show down by 20 or 25 minutes. Well, that was what all the references were early in the program to thanking the Oscar, you know, the mm-hmm. Academy for not cutting us off and putting us in a commercial. Then you had the no host thing. Because, and I still think it's so ridiculous that they didn't let Kevin Hart host this thing. He didn't apologize well enough. Whatever. You know, I mean, I just thought it was ridiculous that they didn't let him host. And I think it missed not having a host. I think they tried to hide it the best they could. And they did that little kind of snarky thing at the beginning with, you know, with Tina Fey and Maya Rudolph. And, you know, we aren't the host. Don't make us the host. Okay, whatever. I mean, but it just kind of fell flat at the beginning of the – I mean, I think they tried their best. Thought it was pretty clever bringing Queen out and doing that and starting the show that way. But I don't know. It just missed having a host.
I didn't put that much thought into it. I was just happy that the it was kind of interesting that some of the movies that won. Like I said, honestly, didn't really notice that much that there was no host. Really wasn't checking it for some of the jokes. It was just interesting, the movie that won the best picture. I've never seen it. Has anybody seen The Green Book? Has anybody seen The Green
Nope,
Book?
Nope, I haven't seen it.
No, I haven't seen it. I thought it was pretty interesting that one won. And I know that a lot of people were kind of like talking about it and talking about how they couldn't believe it won. I couldn't believe it won, especially up against Black Panther. And another movie that was nominated.
Do you think they're ever going to give a Marvel movie Best Picture?
I tell you what, they made a huge inroads with the fact that they were nominated. I think it has changed over the years, especially with, I think, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse won an Academy Award. They won an Oscar. I think with Kobe Bryant's Ode to Basketball winning an Oscar, it's starting to change a little bit. I think what's happening, John, is the fact that I guess the voters for the Academy Awards, they're getting younger. That's the only thing I can think of. Or maybe there's a little bit of pressure to vote differently. Maybe that's the case. But I think it's starting to change a little bit. I think that the guys that vote on it are starting to listen to what other people are saying, or they're probably opening their mind up a little bit, or maybe they're just dying off. Maybe the old voters are just dying off.
Well, when they give away awards to, you know, movies that are like art house, and, you know, and you get to that Hollywood snoot, you know what I'm talking about? About how we are so much smarter than the public, and, you know, that elitist Hollywood snoot. Well, the problem is when you get that way is that nobody's seen the movies. Because they're so highbrow or they're so this or that, you know, I mean, this is why I have no problem with, you know, maybe you follow a little bit. It's almost like the Oscars are not paying attention to what the people in there. People say that the movies are dying. Well, one of the reasons the movies are dying is you keep giving out awards to movies that are like kind of not fringe, but they're not the exact box office blockbusters. You want people to watch, then you got to put the movies up that people watched. Because when people go to the movies, that's what. Because if I'm going to watch the Oscars as I did back in the day when they only had 5, Hugh, I will watch the Oscars because chances are I saw 4 of the 5.
That's how it used to be.
Right. I've seen like, I think, 2 of the 9.
And that's why one of the main reasons why this weekend I want to see the one that I could watch. I still haven't seen Black Klansman. Shame on me, but I will definitely try to watch it probably later on this evening. But Bohemian Rhapsody, I thought that was pretty good. That was one that I saw yesterday. Might check out The Green Book. I don't know, honestly, I don't know if I can sit through watching The Green Book for a list of reasons. I just don't – I mean, I know they said that this movie was – like I was looking at some of the people talking about the people that made it, and they were talking about how it was made from love, and it was a book that was they say was made from the 30s through the 60s where it showed where African Americans could eat and not have any issues. I don't think I want to watch that. I might, you know, later on, but not right now. But it's I think it's kind of cool that they're starting to expand the way that they watch movies now. I really do, because I think for a long time it was kind of snarky and kind of hoity-toity the way that they watched, because of a lot of movies that were nominated in the last few years that I had no desire to watch, none whatsoever. So I think it's pretty cool that they're starting to open their minds up a little bit.
Yeah, I think so too. And really, the best producers and directors. I was thinking last night, I don't like award shows, but you know what? I might watch an award show for the best streaming original TV series. Just that. I'm not talking about putting in, you know, all the other networks. I'm just streaming. I mean, it's like limited to Hulu, YouTube Red, Amazon Prime, Netflix, and they have to be original series on those, because that's what I watch. And that, frankly, is the best writing, the best acting, the best producing are in those original series that those networks do. I mean, to me, right now, that's where the cream of the crop is going. And I'm not sure. When I was growing up, Hugh, movies were far better than television, right? I mean, in terms of acting, directing, the stars were in movies, not in TV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I remember.
Now, I think it's TV's better than movies.
No, I'll tell you another thing that has changed, John. I remember back in the day, actors, like serious actors, wouldn't do television.
Right.
Like, to do television was the death knell. Like, to do television, like made-for-TV movies and stuff, that meant that was beneath you. It's not that way anymore. Oh, yeah, and shout out to my man, Sports Talk ATL. See, he just told me, I don't know if this is true or not, $500K for those Spike Lees because they use real gold? Wow.
God bless.
He didn't pay for those. If they did, he didn't pay for them.
No, he didn't pay for them.
But if we want a pair, we going to pay for them.
Spray paint your own.
Hey, that ain't in my budget.
Well, it was a big race yesterday in Atlanta, and a guy who was sick ended up winning it. And it's the only race we're going to have this year. And what does that say for our racedom here in Atlanta? We have that as we continue on a very busy Monday with John and Hugh on the Morning Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Baseball is back.
Get exclusive Braves coverage from Florida here.
Join us as we go live to spring training in Florida. With our broadcast team of Brian Jordan, Joe Patrick, and more.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Four last lap passes in Atlanta. Turn four. For the final time, Brad Keselowski is going to win the Folds of Honor Quick Trip 500.
Yeah, Brad Keselowski, who was sick on Friday, so sick that he had to get a backup driver. You may have heard Tanitra talk about that. On standby, just in case he couldn't finish the race. He and his wife apparently got very ill on Friday.
Bubble guts.
Yeah.
They said that.
Which is what?
They lost like 5 pounds or something like that. Said he was real sick, and they didn't know if he was going to make it. For him to suck it up like that and be able to race, that was pretty impressive. And not only that, John, it was pretty impressive that the weather was able to hold out so they could actually get the Folds of Honor going. It looked like it was a nice day out there.
Yeah, it looked like a beautiful sunny day and a great race day. And of course, back here in the Morning Show with John and Hugh, as always, you know how to link up with us at 929 The Game on our Twitter. We're also on Facebook. You can also call the show, as always, at 404-741-0929. And we are here to tell you that we are going to have the text line back. I know a lot of the listeners out there said, whatever happened to the text line? Well, there were a lot of technical issues with it, apparently. But my understanding is, and I don't know when exactly, Arthur, do we know when exactly it's coming back? It's soon. All right, that's all I can tell you. You want to try and text in, I guess you can. I don't even know what the new text number is going to be. So, but we understand that the text line is going to be coming back. 22929? Yeah. Well, right now we can't see it, so no sense texting. But we're going to be texting at 22929. So back to it a little bit. So the text line is returning. So that's kind of fun. It'll be another way to interact with the show.
From my understanding, we won't be able to interact on the text line. We can just see all the mean and hurtful stuff that people say about us. So it's about the same. I mean, it's like, you know, it's one of those things, I guess.
The Solomon Brothers text line, 22929. All right, great, cool. Just a way to get back. So back to the race here for a second here. A couple of thoughts. It's our only race, and I'm wondering, you know, what about the future of NASCAR in Atlanta too? Same with, look, let's talk about Atlanta just at large here for a moment about the, you know, when you talk about the sports dollars in this town. NASCAR and the AAF and events like this have to go up against, you know, two incredibly popular teams, you know, that draw huge numbers of fans and interest in the Braves and Atlanta United. So it's a high bar to get to begin with. Then you watch the race yesterday and realize that we only get the one race, Hugh, and that's it. And I don't know how you felt, but I'm almost embarrassed by the track condition.
What do you mean?
The look of the track is awful. It looks like a street road in Wisconsin after a hard winter. I mean, there's tar lines everywhere. It just is not an appealing look.
I don't even know how to respond to that, John. I've been out there. I mean, it looks great to me. I don't even know how to respond to that. I honestly think they do a great job of keeping the track up. I don't know how it looked to you on television. It looked pristine to me. It looked like it was a track that there has to be a certain level. They have to sustain it to a certain level for them to have races on there because, you know, as fast as they're going, John, they gotta be able to they don't want to have any accidents. So I don't know what you saw. I really don't.
I just from an aesthetic viewpoint, it looks like the track needs to be repaved.
I don't know about that, John. I think that they do a great job of taking care of that track. Like I said, you know, going 200 miles an hour, the track has to be in tip-top shape. So I don't know. I don't know what you saw. I really don't.
Well, it's just the way it looks to me. I mean, I tell you that it's not appealing to me in terms of the way, you know, the track looks. Again, that's just what I see. I mean, I'm just a casual viewer watching, and it just looks like...
Have you ever been out there, though?
Oh, yeah. Been out to Atlanta Motor Speedway? Yeah, a ton.
Okay. I mean, yeah. Okay.
I've covered a lot of races out there. Back in the days when we had, you know, two races, I've been out there a lot over the last 45, 46 years.
So, have you been out there lately?
2 years ago.
Okay. Okay.
And so it just, the track itself and the surface is one thing. The second thing is that now NASCAR, this is what's going to be interesting to me. Yesterday, a Mustang won for the first time. Okay. First ever win for the Ford Mustang. What they're trying to do with the new cars.
You mean this year?
First ever, I think, right?
First ever time a Ford Mustang has won? Okay.
I think so.
Okay.
And so, you know, you're trying new things with new cars here in order to create better and closer racing. And Atlanta as a track, my understanding is the way that Atlanta works is that unlike other tracks, every track's got its own little quirks. Atlanta tends to get strung out, okay? Because it was a lot of single file racing once they kind of broke from the pack. But what NASCAR wants to do is bunch the cars back up, you know, slow them back down and get them bunched up so that it's like, you know, a lot tighter racing.
Mm-hmm.
To make it more exciting, it's one of the things they're trying to do to, you know, try and get the sport to be, you know, more popular again. Because NASCAR's faced with a lot of challenges. We understand that, right? And one of the challenges is to create a more exciting form of racing and to make it less, you know, single file, you know, chase the leader kind of thing.
I think if you grew up watching NASCAR or if you're a real fan of NASCAR, you understand the strategy that goes into racing. I think part of the problem is that people, when they watch it, say, for instance, if you've never really understood NASCAR, you just turn on the television and you start watching. Your first thought is that, oh, they're just making left turns. No, it's a lot of strategy that goes into racing. There's a lot of strategy that goes into it. And you're talking about white knuckle racing for about 3 hours straight. And those drivers that tell you when they're driving those cars, it's a lot harder than it looks on television because people are equating it to the fact you're equating driving NASCAR to your everyday commute and the fact that you're dipping in and out of traffic with dude on the side of you and you feel like you're doing a great job. It's not, no, that's not the case. I mean, to be neck and neck with cars going 200 miles an hour and you're behind somebody's bumper, and then you have another car on the side of you, and then you're trying to catch the wind just right and all this other stuff, and you're trying to use another car's momentum in front of you to your advantage, things of that nature. It's a lot harder than you see, what you actually see on TV. And I think that if people understood that part about it, that they would have a newfound respect for NASCAR. It's tough to do. It really is.
Yeah, I wonder how hard it is for Atlanta to have the date that they have. I mean, you have the second race of the year. Granted, you're coming off Daytona, so you got the newly minted Daytona 500 champion and all the Daytona momentum. But at the same time, you're not kind of like, in the old days when we had two races, we had the fall race, and it almost seemed, now this is again just me, that the fall race was the bigger race because there was all this buildup, and we were coming down toward the end of the season, and you really got a sense that NASCAR was, important in the fall, or at least late summer, what was building through the summer to all the storylines that when they came here, by the time they got here, you understood all the storylines, throughout the season and who was doing what and what teams were doing well. And it's sort of like it's almost like they go, okay, now Atlanta, and then we're off. And it's like, I don't know. It just seems to me that it was a bigger event, a bigger to-do when we had, well, of course we had two races, that alone.
But they were trying to shorten the season. They were trying to, most of the races are going out to the West Coast, which I don't understand, because now, I think that now, after the Atlanta race, most of the drivers are heading out to the West Coast.
Yeah, you would think Atlanta would be a bigger deal for NASCAR. I mean, we're still in the heart of NASCAR country. And sometimes I just get a sense that it's like, okay, we got Daytona and Charlotte, and we here in Atlanta kind of get left. We got to go to Atlanta. That's how it comes across from NASCAR sometimes. Whether it's true, I don't know. Morning Show with John and Hugh. Hawks back in action. What are the NBA going here as we count down towards the playoff push? Yeah, it's going to get fun if you're an NBA fan. Next on The Morning Show.